Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings. Welcome to Voice of Olympus. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And we are on CERN, the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We are giving everybody a taste of Season 2, which begins in a few weeks. And this episode is part of a series called Prosperity Quest. What few people know is that in antiquity, Hercules was a god of abundance. Two of his sacred objects were the cornucopia, or the horn of plenty, and the ever-flowering olive branch, which could be transplanted and could again take root and produce fruit. And in the Mediterranean, olives were wealth, and they were granted to Hercules by Athena herself. So Hercules was a god of wealth, and he blessed commercial enterprises. And I, following in that vein, I'm the official greeter of new businesses for the town of Tenafly, New Jersey, where we currently reside, a town which I love. And tonight we have a very special guest. We have author and intuition expert Lynn A. Robinson, who has written a wonderful book called Put Your Intuition to Work. And we will learn all about Lynn and her book in a second. Welcome, Lynn. I'm glad to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much, Hercules and Athena.
It is amazing that you've created a niche for yourself. I'm sure there aren't very many intuition experts, just like there aren't very many Greek gods and demigods running around New Jersey. So
I know.
You've created a place for yourself.
Yes, I think the three of us have kind of created some interesting niches here. I agree.
So for those at home, what is an intuition expert?
Well, I'm just really passionate about the topic. You know, I think that intuition is something that we're all born with. You know, I think life is tough these days. You know, we have so much change going on and so much anxiety and so much insecurity. And honestly, I think that intuition is our inner compass, and that when we pay attention to it, it points us in the right direction. It helps us keep a calm and peaceful state of mind. It helps us to move us in the direction of success. So I'm just a huge fan of listening to that inner voice, that inner guidance, however you want to talk about it, your gut feeling.
And you give two very interesting ways of looking at intuition, and they're not separate ways. You could reconcile them very easily, and you do in your book. One is that intuition is kind of like the sum totality and not totally conscious of all our experience, and that we teach ourselves to listen to this voice to give us guidance, because we've accrued all of this during our lifetime and we can draw information from it. And then the other view is that it's something divine that's guiding us and helping us make decisions. And both of them are useful, and you seem to combine them in very interesting and practical ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they aren't mutually exclusive. I mean, sometimes when we talk about intuition, particularly in a business sense, a lot of people say, you know, it's an instinct I have. And most often people will say, kind of think about it or talk about it as an accumulation of knowledge, that it might be a subconscious level, an unconscious level. And when you're trying to make a decision about something, you may be picking up cues. You may be bringing up some of that subconscious knowledge to the conscious level. You may be picking up on body language or tone of voice or things like that, all of which, you know, encompasses intuition. And then the other way that I think is equally valid is more of a divine intuition or soul guidance. And so I think they're both equally valid. And it really, you know, it's not like you kind of go, well, is this, you know, my subconscious knowledge or is this divine intuition? I don't really know that it matters that much, but I do think that intuition is really put into our psyche to help guide us and to make good decisions for ourselves. You know, I think that in this time we're going through is such a challenging time, and you know, maybe when we grew up there, depending on how old you are, but you know, it just seemed like there was a lot more, here's the right way to do things, and if you do it this way, then you'll succeed, and here's the wrong way, here's the path to destruction. And I think that so often these days there isn't that one right way, that we're really having to rely on that intuitive answer to say, what's right for me? What's my right next step? You know, all the experts might have a different answer for me, but what's right for me? And that's what I really tried to do in the book, Put Your Intuition to Work. And I tried to give a lot of practical techniques because, you know, you and I were discussing before we got on the air that there's so many books out there that talk about the importance of instinct and intuition and trusting your gut, but there aren't a lot of books out there and a lot of advice about how to do it. So that's what I try to encapsulate in Put Your Intuition to Work.
And you succeed marvelously. It's a very easy to grasp book. It's very well written, and it's very, very practical. And you start off with ways that people can start using their intuition right away, rather than bogging folks down with tons of history and all sorts of other information that might be interesting. But you take them right into, here's your intuition, here are ways for you to use it, there you go, go use it. And I really enjoyed that. That was very refreshing. As we did talk before we got on the air, I did benefit from one of the earlier exercises that I tried. Basically what I did was at the tail end of my meditation, I started asking questions, as you suggested, and then seeing what came up. And sometimes what came up was a feeling, sometimes it was an image, sometimes it was a memory. But I do a lot of dream work, so I started looking at what was being communicated, and a lot of rich information was communicated. So thank you for that. And I enjoyed it so much, and I benefited from it so much, that I want to use the book for 30 days and trial the exercises. So that is something that I do with very few books. So I want you to know that I'm phenomenally impressed with your work.
Oh, good. Well, I'm totally honored that you're using it that way. That's terrific. Yeah. And you raised two really good points in your kind of giving those examples. One is that there's a lot of different ways to receive intuition, and there's no one way that's the right way. And you mentioned most of them. You might get it as an image, a feeling, a dream, a physical sensation. You might get a symbolic picture. So those are all great ways of receiving intuitive guidance. And the other thing that you mentioned, which is really, I think, a key point, is you can ask your intuition questions. You know, so often we think of intuition coming unbidden. Ah, you know, I just had a great insight. And certainly it comes that way. But I think that to kind of prime the pump, if you will, of intuition is to ask it a question. And I like asking open-ended questions, not ones that necessarily evoke a yes or no. I mean, those are, you know, valid to use. But asking questions like, what's my right next step? Or what do I need to know about this business endeavor? Or, you know, how could I do more, you know, attract more business? Or how could I create more business in the Tenafly, New Jersey area? You know,
yes.
And, you know, the answer doesn't always come like, oh, you know, bang, you know, there's the answer. Sometimes it does, and that's wonderful. But more often, I find that when I ask a question, I might sit in meditation and kind of ask the question. And, you know, I'll sometimes get the answer right when I'm asking it, but more often it will come to me when I'm driving to the office, or I'm taking a walk, or, you know, I'm taking a shower, or doing the dishes, you know, something a little bit mindless when my mind isn't totally focused on the issue at hand. That's usually when people report that the information comes in. So in a business setting, I like to tell people, you know, push away from your desk, or, you know, go take a break, or go walk around the park for lunch or something, you know, just to get away. And you find that, or even take a nap if your office allows it. But those are all really great ways. So you obviously you've read the book, so you get an A+ from me, Hercules.
Well, thank you very much. It's been years since I've been given an A+.
I have a question for you, Lynn. We often hear women's intuition. Do you think that women, especially in a business setting, are likely to use intuition, or do you think we kind of second guess each other and shy away from it?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, I think that women talk about it a little differently, and they may experience it a little differently than men do. Women will tend to talk about a feeling about something. I have a feeling this is what's going on. And men will tend to talk about, you know, my gut says or my instincts say. And I know when I've coached women in business, if they're working with a lot of men, I'll talk to them about just using different language. But often, I just think that women, maybe, this is probably not politically correct, but I think women tend to be a little bit more in touch with their feelings. And so and feelings are one of the primary ways that intuition comes to us. So I think maybe we've got a little bit of an edge there.
Oh, good, because I realize that women tend to pick up a lot more on nonverbal cues, like we tend to read faces more and look at body language for, so we kind of read people a little better because
that's
we actually look at them.
Yeah.
A lot of times guys
don't
look at
each other. That's absolutely valid. I think that those are all, and I think that we're probably trained at a fairly early age to really trust that, those readings, you know, whether it's body language or, you know, way somebody's speaking, or to trust our feelings. And so I think maybe we've got a little bit of a leg up or a head up or a feeling up or something here to help us with our intuition. But, you know, it's tough because sometimes intuition comes to you and it belies logic, you know. And the frustrating thing is intuition doesn't always come to you with a why for something. Like, okay, you don't feel like you're getting an intuition that going on that ski trip is not the best thing for you, or it's kind of warning you away from a vacation or something. But it doesn't always come and give you the answer of why that's happening. One of the people that I interviewed for the book, the Put Your Intuition to Work book, he said he was a CEO of a big company and they needed to hire a chief financial officer. And they had interviewed a bunch of people and come up with one guy that they'd really liked, and you know, they checked his references and everything, and they went to the person I interviewed, the CEO, and said, "We'd like to hire this guy." And so he said, "Every time I went to pick up the phone to offer him the job, I couldn't do it." He said, "There's something stopped me. I just kind of heard the word no. He said, "I'm not typically a procrastinator, so I couldn't figure out why am I getting, I can't pick up the phone. I can't offer him the call." So he decided to trust his intuition. He said, "There's some reason I'm getting that, but I don't know why, and I can't just call him up and say, you know, I can't make you the offer without having some legitimate reason." And so he did a further background check and found out that the guy had been convicted of embezzling funds in two different states. But that's the frustrating part about intuition. It doesn't go, "Hello, this guy's an embezzler. Please do not offer him the job." It just gives you that feeling that something's off. It's just a little frustrating.
But that's a useful thing to get, that feeling. And learning to trust it, I think, is the most difficult thing. In our conditioning, we're conditioned not to trust our imagination, not to trust the voice from within, not to trust anything that we came up with, but to rely on external authority. And that takes a very long time to let
it
go
does.
Of. And,
yes. And I tell people to try it out on small things at first, you know, not necessarily should I change my job, or, you know, should I get a divorce or start a relationship or something big like that might be a little life-changing, but to try it out on small things. The other thing that I tell people to do in the book is when you're feeling like you're being guided to do something and, you know, it feels like a big step. So, for instance, say you're in a job and a career and you're really feeling like, okay, it's time to leave this job. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to do something different. And, of course, that's a big decision. So most of us are not in the position that we can go to the boss the next morning and say, hey, I'm quitting. But I tell people to try to honor that intuition in some other way. So it might be, okay, it's time for me to leave my job, but what maybe I could take a class, maybe I could talk to a career coach, maybe I could rewrite my resume, maybe I could start doing some informational interviews. So you're honoring the intuition, and usually what I find is when I'm honoring my intuition, things have a way of working out. The synchronicities start to appear, the right people show up to help me out, or some information that I need, or some opportunity will open up. So I find that over and over again. I think you don't necessarily have, I mean, ultimately, I guess you have to take the leap of faith and leave the job in this example. But you know, more often than not, when you start taking those small steps, you'll get further information. I mean, that's really the motto I try to live by is, you know, if there's something I'm confused about, take a step in the direction that I think I should be going in or feel intuitively that I should be going in and see what shows up and respond to that. I think of that as my intuitive business plan.
I respond the same way. Like many of the things I'm doing haven't been done, or at least haven't been done since antiquity. So I have nothing really to guide me. There aren't any expert opinions. So I try to listen to my inner voice and move in the direction I want to head, even though I have no idea where it will ultimately take me. And even when it's led me down seemingly blind alleys, I've learned something by that particular twist or turn that's proven helpful later on. So nothing is wasted. And you mentioned synchronicities. I pay attention to synchronicities all the time, and I find that those are hints that you're in the right direction. Deja vus also serve the same function. And your career started with a synchronicity. You went to a funeral. And that started off an entirely new journey. Would you care to share that?
It did. I was the operations manager of a software company in the Boston area, and it, you know, kind of like the example I was just giving a few moments ago, I really knew that it wasn't what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I really was getting the guidance it was time to change my career, and I'd taken a class in intuition development and found that I was actually very accurate. I was doing little, you know, intuitive readings for people, and they were, you know, going, oh my gosh, how did you know that about me? And so I went to see a career counselor, and I said, you know, I really want to develop this skill. I'd love to have it be a business. And so, you know, we worked on that for a few weeks, and she taught me about visualizing and meditating and doing affirmations and all that other good stuff. And so I did that for a few weeks. Yes. And then what happened was a friend of mine died, and I went to his funeral. There were several hundred people there, and I walked in, and it always sounds so weird every time I tell this story, but honest to God, I heard a voice, and it said, sit there. And my attention got drawn to a woman I didn't know, and there was an empty seat next to her, so I promptly sat down. And at the end of the service, she and I just started, you know, engaging in small talk, and she said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I do intuitive readings. And I had really never done that for anybody outside the class with a few friends, but she ended up inviting me over to her house a week later and wanted to get an intuitive reading, so I did that. And it turned out, the shorter version of the story is that she was a writer for the Boston Globe newspaper, and she wrote an article, and I got about 500 clients in the next few months. So that's all my business started by using my intuition and hearing that inner voice.
There you go. And you've written 7 other books while on
I
the
have.
Screen.
Isn't that amazing? Every time somebody says that back to me, I go, wow, how is it possible I did that? All about intuition, yeah. The last book was called Divine Intuition, and I've also written Compass of the Soul and Real Prosperity. So lots of different kinds of books, but all about intuition.
And those are all topics we cover here on Prosperity Quest. So I would love to have you back so that you can share those journeys and those books as well. I Put Your Intuition to Work was actually an updated version of one of your other works, I believe, Trusting Your Gut, it was called.
Right, trust your gut and grow your business. Yep. So I edited that and gave lots of new examples and techniques and interviewed a whole bunch of new people. So it's kind of a brand new book that just came out last month. Yep. Yes.
Awesome. And you picked a great publisher, Career Press First Book.
Oh, they're terrific.
They are wonderful people.
I really like working with them. They are. Yes. I really enjoy working with them.
And I was, during part of my sojourn, a career counselor. And,
oh, no kidding. I can see where
yes,
you would
back
be a very
then,
good one.
Well, thank you. Back then, I used to wear fur and leather and wander around with a sword strapped to my back. And I've spent my life investigating the different iterations of Hercules in different cultures. So for a while, around a decade, I was Thor the Barbarian. And that journey produced a fringe television show and a movie, and I was on PBS in New Jersey as the motivational barbarian and the superhero.
Oh my
services.
Oh, you had fun with your career. That's great. Terrific. But you,
well,
you
my
know,
message
you
then
really
was
good. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well,
oh, my message back then was if I could do this, anybody could do anything. So
perfect, yes. And same for me, Hercules. I mean, I tell people that all the time. It's like, and I think that both of us have kind of followed our intuition, that this is something that, you know, you feel passionate about, I feel passionate about, different things we do, of course, but we've followed our inner guidance and been able somehow to make a living at these things. You know, I write books, and I'm a professional speaker on trusting your intuition, and I still do intuitive readings, and you're doing this wonderful work and is being the ambassador at Tenafly, New Jersey, but we both kind of, you know, whether formally or not, kind of asked our own intuition, going, "What's my right next step? You know, how can I do more of this? This is what I like doing." And really, the basis to me, if sometimes people tell me, "Oh, I don't get intuitive messages," or "I don't trust my intuition," and really, to me, the very basic way that we can learn to trust our intuition is if something feels exciting, energizing, you feel enthusiastic about it, that's your intuition saying move in that direction. In fact, the root of the word enthusiasm comes from a Greek word, entheo.
Oh, yes.
It literally means God within or guidance within. So when you're excited, you're enthusiastic, that's your intuition saying do more of that, go in that direction. And the opposite is true too, that if you're drained, you're bored, you're energized by something, that's your intuition saying, don't go there if possible, or start moving away from it. And so, you know, clearly both you and I have made decisions in our lives in terms of our own businesses that here's what we're excited about. You know, let me throw it out there, see what sticks. But I think that a lot of us are in that position, you know, whether we're in a corporation or whether we're self-employed, that we want to do something a little different. And, you know, when you have that impulse, I also think that there's guidance there to be able to help you and to, you know, put the right people in your path and the right ideas in your mind and your heart.
I truly believe that as well.
Yeah, so, you know, I think a lot of people kind of talk themselves out of what they want to do, that it's not practical, or how can I make a living at that, or, you know, what would my family and friends think. But I just think that when there's something in you that's in your heart, that doesn't go away, that, you know, excites you, something you've always wanted to do, maybe you've dreamed about it since you were a kid in one way, shape, or form, those are what I call intuitive nudges. And I think they're to be ignored at your peril.
I believe that also that each of us has a uniqueness, and in that uniqueness is our gift from the divine. And in the ancient Greek myths, before Apollo said, "Let there be balance in all things," or "in balance excellence," the myths speak of excess. It's finding your gifts and cultivating those things. And going with whatever your gift is, and you will be weak in certain areas, that's fine. You don't have to be equally strong in all areas, but whatever your unique gift is, that's what you run with, and that's what makes you divine and releases your creativity and allows you to share your gifts with your community.
And don't we all have unique gifts? I mean, I don't have yours.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have mine. And I think it's, you know, it's a big puzzle piece out there that when we're not doing our gift, whatever it is, there's a piece of the puzzle missing, and it's a gaping hole. So we all need to honor those gifts. But boy, do we talk ourselves out of it. I think when I'm doing intuitive readings with clients, that's the biggest thing that I see. It's like, you know, I'll talk to them, well, what excites you in their life? And they can often easily identify that. But then almost immediately I'll hear, well, you know, how could I make a living at that? Or, you know, you know, how could I do that? Or I've got a mortgage or kids. And, you know, as we both know, this doesn't necessarily happen overnight. But more and more I see in my own life, and I see it with my clients, that when we take that, we have that courage and we start saying yes to what we love to do, that's when the miracles start to happen. That's when, you know, the synchronicities. And, you know, I have a technique in the book that I do every day, and I find it really helpful. And I've heard the feedback that many people do. I think of it as my intuitive business plan. And what it's basically asking people to be clear about the outcome they want. You know, it's whether I really want to be known for, to be an expert on Greek mythology, or, you know, having people understand Hercules and a bunch of different cultures. I mean, whatever it is that you want, being clear about the outcome that you want. And then what I do is I do a little meditation every day, usually just maybe even for 5 minutes, and I'll just say, what I visualize it, I imagine the outcome that I want, and then I put my hand over my heart because I feel like it gets me out of my logical brain, and I just say, what 3 things could I do today to move in the direction of this dream? And I just wait in silence until those 3 things emerge. And it can be something simple. It could just be sending somebody an email. It can be saying yes to, you know, I mean, to an offer. It can be making a phone call. It can be writing something. It could be going to a class, reading a book, taking the day off. I mean, it could be anything. But if it feels exciting or energizing, has a little oomph to it, that's the thing I do that day, the 3 things. If it feels draining, boring, enervating, I'll just try not to do those things. But that's how I built my business over the last 25 years, and so far it's worked out pretty well.
It seems so. I do a variation of that exercise. I have notebooks.
Oh,
and as you pointed out in the book, Edison and other people have these notebooks too. And I have cases and cases and cases of notebooks that I've filled in over the years. But I do that every morning. I sit down and think of things that I could do. And the things individually are not large things. They're, like you said, send an email, make a phone call, write something. But cumulatively, they move you in the direction that you want to go. And over time, and sometimes over a short time, you find that you've gone very far, where sitting and wrestling with the bigness of it all keeps you paralyzed.
Absolutely. I mean, that's actually interesting because one of the symbolic images I get when I'm doing intuitive readings, when somebody's overwhelmed, it's like they're standing at the bottom of Mount Everest trying to figure out how to get to the top.
Yes.
I mean, it is such a cliche, you know, the journey to the top of the mountain begins with a single step, but that is often what happens, you know. But, and I think to your point, it may seem like they're very small, you know, sending an email, writing something, you know, kind of small things, but you never know that just around the corner, you know, Oprah might get you on her show, or you might be on the Hercules Invictus show, or, you know, something
big happens.
We're working on that. Somebody hears you, or gets what you do, or, you know, that it is going to be life-changing. You know, walking into a funeral and sitting next to a Boston Globe newspaper reporter, you know. I mean, I've had a few of those weird things happen.
So, Lynn, what's next? You're pioneering this path, you're producing books, you're speaking, you're helping people with intuitive readings. What is next for you?
You know, I really am passionate about taking this internationally. That's really the big thing for me. I get very excited about doing international travel. I've been taking this to Japan every year for the last several years. I'm going down to Mexico in a few weeks to bring it down there. So that's the part that excites me. I love teaching about this, and I think that, you know, because our culture, our times, we're in such challenging times that we really need to find a new and creative approach to some of the issues in our times and come up with some more creative, inspired, and heartfelt solutions. So I'm very passionate about teaching people this. So that's what I'm open to next. And what I do as an intuitive exercise is sometimes when I don't know what the specific is, I just say in my meditation, I am welcoming in new ideas, new ways of being of service, new opportunities. opportunities, and I, you know, stand in kind of the mystery. And, you know, usually what I find happens, I think I will say always, is, and again, it doesn't happen overnight, but usually within a few weeks, a few months, those new opportunities start to emerge. And so I try to get myself out of the way on a conscious level sometimes.
And how can folks learn more about you? Do you have a particular website that you'd like them to go to?
Yes. Yep. My website is lynnrobinson.com, and my first name is L-Y-N-N, no E, lynnrobinson.com. And on my website, I've got a lot of articles. I've got quizzes. I've got, it's very interactive. There's meditations and visualizations and little e-books that you can sign up for, as well as information about Put Your Intuition to Work.
Very awesome. And are your other books published by Career Press as well?
No, they're not, but they're all listed on my website, and they're all available on Amazon or in your local bookstores or Barnes & Noble. Yes.
Very awesome. I enjoyed having you on immensely. As I mentioned before, I've chosen your book as one of the books that I devote a month to and try all the exercises. Like I do this with physical exercise programs as well, and mental and spiritual programs. And I'm very excited at what I found inside your book. So I'm very excited about beginning this journey. And when I've completed that journey, I'd like to have you on again. And we can get an update on all the wonderful things that are happening, and maybe introduce one of your other books, Divine Intervention. I'm sorry, Divine Intuition.
Divine Intuition.
Sounds like something that's up my alley.
Terrific.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. All right. More power to you. I can't wait to hear what happens after your 30 days. Take care.
Thank you very much.
And bye, Athena.
Good night, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was extremely awesome, and I'm looking forward to having Lynn on again. Now we are going to go to music by Becca Kelso called The Odyssey. And yes, I know it has nothing to do with Odysseus and the Cyclops and all those really cool things, but it's called The Odyssey.
And that's all it takes.
This is the voice of Olympus. So we will be right back in a few moments.
Just in my head, imagine.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, we are back. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And this is Voice of Olympus. And today is a special Prosperity Quest episode. And in part two of the show, we are welcoming back Christine Evron, the
Woo!
President of the Tenafly Chamber of Commerce and a fellow Rotarian.
Huzzah!
Greetings, Christine.
Hello. How are you, Athena and Hercules?
Very good.
We are awesome, and how are you?
Great. I feel very mundane for the show, but still.
You are anything but mundane. So you've been globetrotting again and wandering and having exciting adventures. Would you like to share some of that with us?
Oh, I actually went to the Philadelphia Folk Festival, which apparently is the longest running musical festival in the country. It's been going on continuously for 55 years. And have down what I would love to bring to Tenafly. So I was very interested in what they were doing.
And we would like to help you bring that to Tenafly, because what you shared with us sounds really awesome. And you were even at Mermaid Lane. Very few people can say that.
This was a village at the festival. A village is a cluster of tents of like-minded friends, had brought in a large papier-mâché rock and had put down a mermaid tail, and you could stand behind the rock and put on various wigs and bras and shells and other accoutrements
and have
your picture taken, or take your own picture and selfie. It was quite fun.
I love photo ops like that.
And now I have to go down there and recruit mermaids for Mythic Atlantis. Mythic Atlantis needs mermaids. Debbie D has graciously agreed to be the queen of the mermaids for Mythic Atlantis. So we're starting the recruitment process, and hopefully soon we will have, is it a bevy of mermaids? Do you know what the term for plural of mermaids would be?
Oh, I had looked that up once too. There is a thing, a shimmer of mermaids.
So I want a shimmer of mermaids here in Tenafly, and it to be their headquarters. And then we'll focus on cleaning up the waters and doing all sorts of...
And make it shimmery.
make it shimmery, yes. So, Christine, what is new and exciting in Tenafly?
Well, I don't know about exciting, but we're working on improving the business environment in Tenafly. And any kind of change you want to bring to any community is very slow. I mean,
Yes. Even
something in this case, we're working on parking, which, again, is one of the most mundane topics in the world. But if you need parking for your customers, it's extremely important. We started 2 years ago working with the police just to enforce regulations. We have a problem here that there's not always enough parking in front of the stores. And the reason sometimes is that employees and business owners want to be close to their stores, so they park where the customer should park. So by enforcing the regulations, we kind of shunt those people off to the side. which can have its own problems because then they park in residential areas. So,
and
eventually,
it's amazing the amount of complications that come in and the reasons that surface for why these parking problems exist.
Oh, we thought we just have to make sure everyone has a permit so they can go into the empty employee lots. And we charged ahead with that plan. It only took us 6 months to get the local council to talk about it. But all of a sudden, at the last minute, we find it's not getting the permits that's the problem, that you have to give all your personal information to get a permit. And everybody says, why is the town tracking who works here? That's creepy. And they don't want to use the permits. Well, it is creepy, yes. So we're trying to bring the town to a realization that that's creepy and waive that requirement. So it just takes time and discussing these ideas. The whole point is that...
And you have been very excellent in getting people to at least start discussing these ideas, and you've initiated those discussions. So the talks are moving forward, and though progress is slow, there is progress being made.
Well, part of it is recognizing that it's slow. I'm not the first person to notice that parking was a problem or to say, do this about it. I just don't give up after the first year. I said, okay, it'll take another year. And it'll probably take a good 5 years before we resolve this current iteration. I think we're about 2.5 years into it. So you just have to see the problem and keep working at it.
And we're fortunate to have you to keep us focused and working on it. You don't quite crack the whip. You're too pleasant a person to do that. But you do remind people of what they should be focusing on. And you know, you're there to make sure that they focus on it.
I'm a nudge.
yeah, nudge sounds a lot nicer than business dominatrix.
You are also very helpful with lots of tips for businesses because starting a business is difficult. Do you have any tips for entrepreneurs listening in for how they can better succeed at starting a business? Hopefully here in Tenafly, but if not in Tenafly, anywhere within internet range.
Basically, intuition and following your passion is great, but you always have to put the work in to refine it to be what your client wants. Always keep in mind that you're serving someone else. And sometimes you want to take your intuition, and let's say your intuition says you can either sell costumes or maybe baked goods or maybe even decoupage furniture. Whatever it is that you love and you think you can make a business thing, develop some various alternatives or focuses. For instance, if you were doing costumes, you might want to specialize in princess costumes. You might want to specialize in mermaid costumes. If you're going to be a bakery, you might want to be cupcakes. You might want to be petits fours because they're smaller. They can be beautiful, and they're lower calorie than cupcakes, so that might be the new thing. Even decoupage furniture. You can do very elegant monochromatic themes, or you can do wild kid-friendly designs. It's too much to go in all those directions at once.
It certainly is.
Intuition, and I'm saying any given person would only choose one category of baking, furniture, or costume. Hopefully your intuition is not telling you to do all of those things. But anyway, you pick your major category and then a few different aspects of it.
So
set up some promotional material. Mm-hmm.
Let me use an example for me. I have a million different things I'm doing. They all fit together very nicely, but it'll take a while for them all to come into focus. They're coming more and more into focus as I progress on this odyssey. But two areas that are fairly well developed at this time. One is the interactive storytelling. And although anybody can participate in interactive story, and I run them in schools and in cultural institutions for kids and families, and you can do them for older people. That's pretty much it's called fantasy role playing in the gaming industry. The other one is my workshops. I talk about a variety of topics, anywhere between 50 and 100 in any given time, many of them off the top of my head. And now, after giving a bunch of freebies, most of those are paid now. So I'm being paid to talk about these different things. And I would like to expand past the areas where I've been offering it, so that I'm doing it like privately. So having interactive storytelling at kids' parties, and talking about a variety of topics at parties for adults. So I'm focusing on those two things. How would you suggest I promote those?
Well, we could do either the educational thing. Let's say that you were trying to decide for your story focus, do you want to concentrate in role-playing, or do you want to be seen as an educator, say, of Greek myths, as indeed you have been in the past? And you want to make
both.
A choice between those two.
For adults, the educator part of it works better. For kids, the fun aspect of it. In both cases, I'm instructing people on Greek mythology.
But we're focusing here on money. We're focusing here on making money from your wonderful idea. The real money will be making presentations to schools at assemblies where you go in for a full day and you speak to a school for a succession of classes. What topic do the local schools want to hear about? Greek myths, or getting their students into role-playing, using computers, and researching fantasy to create better creative models? Either one of those ideas can be very saleable. But in some areas, people are more forward-thinking, my kids need to be creative in role-playing. And others, they're going to say, my kids need to know more history so they have something to draw upon. And that's kind of an
external... Those are interesting things to consider.
Those are external to you. What serves your client best? And the way you find out is you create, say, a set of postcards, one with a picture of you as Hercules in the forefront, and another one you might have kids in their costumes from a role-playing event.
Okay.
So you basically set out one set of postcards to half of the local private schools pushing Hercules, and the other one, and you might put in there in print that you also do role-playing games, and then the other one, you send out your postcard saying role-playing games is a picture, and with a little write-up of also talks about Greek history. See which set of postcards brings back the greatest response. That tells you what your clients are looking for.
So just like I am trying out to put your intuition to work, I'm going to try these out also. And I will share my feedback on future shows. You are now the voice of the Chamber of Commerce on our show, in Voice of Olympus. So I'm very grateful that you're sharing these tips with us, and I certainly intend on trying them out and sharing my experiences. You are also a fellow Rotarian, something I know we're both very proud of. What is new and exciting with the Rotary Club?
We're into our big service season. Actually, we have service season all year round. But we are looking to raise money for one of the local food pantries, the Office of Concern in Englewood, and to raise money for LGL leukemia, which the grandson of our president is afflicted with, and it is an extremely rare disease that only strikes about 1,000 people a year. And we are having a golf tournament Wednesday, the September 21st, if anybody is interested in that. And you can read about it on our Tenafly Rotary Club.org page. And we are also, after that, we will be looking into Rails to Trails, where we are going to take up, hopefully, the unused rail tracks going from Tenafly to the New York State border and turn it into a bicycle trail or and hiking trail. So that might be our next big project.
I'm all for that, just like I'm all for the dog park. I really believe in that idea as well.
Well, I plan to put a dog park along the edge of the trail somewhere.
Very awesome. I will definitely lend my sword or my club to that endeavor.
Yeah, because realistically, dogs are going to walk with their owners up and down this trail.
Some of the other local Rotary clubs are interested in sharing their information on the Prosperity Quest as well. So the next time we'll have others, for a few minutes coming in and also telling folks about the things that they're doing. And one of our fellow Rotarians expressed an interest in doing that for our club. So I guess we'll pursue it and we can have him on as often as we can. And one of the local councilmen will also be coming on to lend his voice to Prosperity Quest. So we're getting more and more Tenafly residents involved here in creating a better world.
Excellent.
So what is next for Christine Evron? And you travel quite a bit. You were in Machu Picchu recently. Is that correct? Not too long ago.
Let's see. That was last year. Then I went to Israel. Where else have I been? I go down to Pennsylvania a lot and visit my mother. My kids are sending around. They're in Greece and other places.
So, what do you call it? We will hear of those places and your travels when we have you on. I want to thank you very, very much, Christine. It's always a pleasure having you on. It's always a pleasure bumping into you and talking. I look forward to when we get together for a cup of coffee. And I look forward to having you on in a few weeks when we're going to talk about charitable giving.
Yes, absolutely.
So safe journeys. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too, Athena.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
And that was Christine Evron, president of the Tenafly Chamber of Commerce, an all-around awesome individual. We have a lot of changes happening here as well. Next episode of Voice of Olympus is the last episode of Season 1. In Season 1, we kind of introduced a lot of topics, and as Christine suggested, we saw what people were interested in and what we enjoyed doing and what guests were coming back with information, and we developed kind of like a gestalt. What this led to was our first spin-off show, which is coming soon, called The Pride of Olympus. That will focus on a very narrow band of topics, mostly celestial astromythology, celestial chariots, so the path of ascension, and Voice of Olympus will be formatted, and we've given you a taste over the past few months to focus on the Elysium Project. And the second season is called Mount Olympus Cares, because it's going to focus on practical spirituality a lot more in several different categories. We are going to have more extended shows than we had in the first season. And I will share this now. We are planning a second spin-off show for later in the year. So our universe here on Blog Talk Radio and CERN is growing. Athena, what else is going on with us?
At the Cresco Public Library, we're having, I don't know what that
the
is.
The Center for the Study of Living Myth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what that stood for. The Dream Realms, and that'll be on Thursday, August 25th of this year, and it's around 7 o'clock, right?
From 7 to 8 p.m.
7 o'clock. And for more information about us, visit our website, www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, visit us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or the Voice of Olympus.
And what we are doing in our next show is we are having on Michael Duncan, who's been on the show before, with his wife Diane Duncan, and they're going to tell us about the Sixth Revelation, which is a new and exciting branch from the Urantia book, and they're the leaders of the Urantia book group in California, in San Diego, I believe, and they're developing a new spirituality, a new revelation, one that ties into cosmic Olympianism, and I find what I've learned so far phenomenally exciting. So we're greatly looking forward to having them on again. And we are going to be adding other features to Voice of Olympus. We're going to be adding more reviews, more text interviews. So we're planning on making this a little bit different, a little bit more variable, and to offer a lot of new exciting information. So thank you for sticking with us so far. We couldn't have done it without you, and we're looking forward to getting your feedback and your fellowship over our next season. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Safe journeys. May all your adventures be awesome. This is Hercules Invictus signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.